Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Monday morning. It's December 22nd. Currently 42 degrees here in Old Town Park City, as well as in Heber City. We've got mostly cloudy skies outside our weather window. And on the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, meteorologist Cedric Haynes. Good morning.
Happy Monday, KPCW listeners. It's time for your Monday forecast for the Wasatch Back. A busy holiday week ahead. And of course, all eyes on the forecast here. It's definitely going to be a mild week ahead for us here. We're starting off with high temperatures for your Monday and the low 50s around Park City. We'll see those high temperatures in the upper 50s closing in on 60 in the Heber Valley. Overall, look for mostly cloudy skies throughout the day and breezy conditions. As we go into your Tuesday, we're looking at, again, mostly cloudy to cloudy skies expected throughout the day. Temperatures, once again, very mild with highs in the low 50s in the Park City area. High temperatures will be into the mid to upper 50s for us in the Heber Valley. By the time we get towards your Wednesday, Christmas Eve, we'll start off dry during the morning, but we'll see increasing chances for rain throughout the midday and afternoon hours. Yes, rain is in the forecast for your Christmas Eve, with temperatures climbing to around 50 in Park City for a high. We'll see those highs in the mid-50s for us in the Heber Valley. Once we go into your Christmas Day, yeah, more rain is expected off and on throughout the day. Temperatures for highs will be in the low 50s for us in the Heber Valley, and we'll see those high temperatures into the upper 40s in the Park City area. An upper-level disturbance will quickly follow the atmospheric river of moisture as we go into your Friday. So after Christmas, we will start to see a little colder air moving in, and that will lead to a chance of a few snow showers developing as we go into your Friday for us in Park City. High temperatures will drop back down into the 30s as we get towards your Friday. And then in the Heber Valley, we're looking at temperatures in the low to mid-40s for highs with a chance of a rain-snow mix. That rain-snow mix could turn into a little period of morning snow as we go into your Saturday morning with some light accumulations in the Heber Valley as temperatures dip down into the low 20s for lows and highs only in the upper 30s in the Heber Valley. Meanwhile, in Park City, accumulating snow is likely as we get into your Friday night and Saturday morning with temperatures only in the low 30s for highs on your Saturday would dry out and turn colder for your Sunday. Let's look at your latest forecast for the Wasatch Back on ABC 4 meteorologist Cedric Haynes.
And on the phone with a look in the backcountry, we've got Greg from the Utah Avalanche Center. Good morning.
Good morning. Goodness, the weather feels more like we live in San Francisco, it seems, than in the Intermountain West. These warm temperatures and rain and really no low elevation snow, as everyone has noticed. But there is snow up high. And resorts are actually reporting some pretty decent conditions. And we're also finding some decent conditions in the backcountry as well, despite the warm temperatures, the wind, and the lack of snow. Today, we're going with a moderate avalanche danger. And these are going to be on pretty much upper elevation slopes, so slopes of about 9,000 feet. And this is on slopes facing west, north, and east. And this, the kind of slopes we can trigger an avalanche today probably have been recently wind-loaded. So there's really two avalanche problems you want to look out for today. One are some recent fresh wind drifts. These strong winds have been blowing snow all over the place. So you could find some pockets of reactive wind drifts. And on slopes where we have that persistent weak layer, and that's primarily on northerly facing slopes, those wind-drifted slopes could cause an avalanche to break down near the ground. There was an avalanche yesterday on Murdoch Peak. So this is along the Park City ridgeline. It was remotely triggered, so that is, it's from a distance, and it failed in that weak faceted snow down near the ground. It was on a wind-loaded slope. So I don't think it's a widespread problem. That's why I'm only going with the moderate avalanche danger. But it's kind of an indication that those, that buried weak layer that we have down near the ground on those northerly facing slopes will become a problem as we add more of a load. And as you just heard in the weather forecast, we are expecting some snow and Wednesday, Thursday into Friday. So I think we have the setup in place. So we could see an increasing avalanche danger as the week goes on. But for now, moderate danger. And good to hear some snow in the forecast and finally some cooler temperatures by the weekend.
Okay, let's hope so. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And again, you can find out more about the avalanche there on Murdoch Peak by going online to utahavalanchecenter.org. Again, they've got their reports there with all relevant information. Well, stay tuned. Coming up this morning on the local news hour, I'll be checking in with Park City Councilmember Tana Tolley, taking a look back at her last 4 years and what's ahead for her second term on the City Council. From the Park City Chamber Bureau, CEO Jennifer Wesselhoff in with a monthly update, taking a look at the lodging numbers and the plan for kind of a no-snow year. Finally, from the winter sports update with the Vice President of TUNA, that's the Utah Nordic Alliance, Richard Hodges. Then stay tuned for Mountain Money. Today's guests include author Tarpley Hitt as she discusses her new book, Barbieland, The Unauthorized Story, which explores the history of not just the doll, but also Mattel and its founders. Then Jeff McIntyre and Nick Polychronis stop by to share updates about Black Rock Mountain Resort. This is the only 4-star resort with an attached event center in the state, and it's home to the Utah Outlaws hockey team. All of that coming up in Mountain Money, of course, heard every Monday from 9 to 10. Good morning. Well, the Park City Council has adopted the updated Clark Ranch Conservation Easement. KPCW's Christine Weller reports it protects most of the land as open space.
After delaying a decision on the Clark Ranch conservation easement November 6th, the Park City Council approved the updated plan Thursday. The easement conserves 329 acres of the 344-acre Clark Ranch as open space. The council went back and forth during the meeting Thursday to ensure the agreement was right. A decision on conserving the land was previously delayed because the council wanted to ensure a proposed 200-unit affordable housing development was limited to 10 acres. While the updated plan still leaves out 15 acres of land from the easement, it clarifies only 10 acres of land south of Park City Heights can be developed. The other 5 acres is a buffer, as the exact location of the development has not yet been determined. City Environmental Sustainability Manager Luke Carton said once a location has been chosen, the last 5 acres can be conserved.
We will protect those acres to the same level as the 329. We can add to the existing conservation easement, or we might have something that's very similar to that conservation easement.
City staff proposed the council have a joint meeting with the Planning Commission at the beginning of 2026 to select the 10 acres for development. Carton also noted that while the conserved land cannot have any infrastructure pass through it, the easement does allow roads and parking lots to be built for recreation, like at trailheads. Utah Open Lands Executive Director Wendy Fisher, who's facilitating the conservation easement, emphasized the 5 acres will be protected as the council wishes.
Anything that you do in strengthening this motion tonight, we will adhere to in ensuring that that additional 5 acres, which staff has brought back as not having any development infrastructure and as being fully protected open space, is something that we will ensure takes place through the right technical mechanism.
And just to be sure, Councilmember Tana Tolley's motion to approve the easement clarified the council's intent.
I move to adopt the Clark Ranch conservation easement as updated November 6th, and we add the same level of open space protections and intent onto an additional 5 acres to happen in 2026.
The council unanimously approved the motion. Christine Weller, KPCW News.
Well, voters return Tana Tolley to serve another 4 years on the Park City Council. She joins me now in the studio to take a look at some of the accomplishments of her first term as well as what's ahead in the next 4 years. Good morning, Tana. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Leslie. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so knowing that Mayor Worrell was not running for re-election, why did you decide to go ahead and run for re-election to council rather than try and go for mayor?
Oh, that's a good question. I felt that I still had 4 years of council in me, and I really wanted to continue to be able to have a voice, have a vote, and continue down the council path. That doesn't mean that in the future, maybe that's something that I will do, but I feel that right now I have a lot of energy and a lot of time to give to council, and so that's why I went forth with that.
Yeah. Now, did you know that Ryan Dickey was planning to run for mayor? You just kind of wanted to
I did. After the mayor decided that she was not going to run, Ryan and I did have a conversation about that. And I supported Ryan running from the very beginning, and we had some great conversations about it. And I'm very thrilled to have him as our mayor and look forward to working with him. We have had an amazing relationship over the last 4 years and work really well together. And looking forward to bringing on a couple new council members and just getting stuff moving in this community. So we're ready to roll.
Right. So we do have that period open. We've got Diego as a new council member, and then Ryan's seat is still open that you guys will appoint, what, by mid-month, January?
Yes, that's the hope, is that we'll be done with that. We don't know how many applications we'll get. And as you know, we have to go through the application process and then we do interviews. So just dependent on how many of those we get, we can't, you know, you couldn't do 40 or 50 in one day. So it really will depend on how many applications we get.
Okay. Now you just completed your first term on the council. I guess what accomplishments, as you look back, are you most proud of?
Well, the one I'm very, very proud of is how much open space that we have preserved. I'm our open space liaison, and I've had the honor of working with Utah Open Lands and Summit Land Conservancy over the last few years. And Treasure Hill was just, I mean, that was near and dear to my heart. I remember working on that in 2007 when at the time we thought there would be these 9-story hotels up there. And so it was just a really good culmination of being able to preserve land in this community, because it really is what I like to say it's our export. Our nature is our export. And in order to continue to have a really thriving economy, we are going to need to continue to ensure that nature is protected.
Yeah. Park City's not that big. I mean, Where else would you like to see more open space protection?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, if you see land in this community, I always say that it's either owned by a private entity or it's owned by the city, and we're looking for conservation easements on it. So, you know, I'll have to get back to you. I have to think about that one. I know there's some spots out, you know, towards the colony that we could look at, and working with the county as well. I think that there's regional partnerships that really need to occur to ensure that we protect land and space as well. So
in addition to Treasure Hill, you guys also just approved the Clark Ranch conservation, yeah?
Yes, we did. And that one was phenomenal as well. I worked really hard with Wendy over the last couple of years to get that moving, Wendy from Utah Open Lands. And, you know, I'd asked about it probably 3 or 4 times over the course of this year. And for it to be the last thing that the mayor and Jeremy voted on, I think that was phenomenal. And it was a great culmination of all the work that we've put into it. And so we're excited to put the land conservation on that, the easement on that, and to move forward in continuing with the Alexander Company on putting some sort of affordable housing, workforce housing, attainable housing. We're not exactly sure what that will all look like on the remaining 10 acres.
Yeah, my understanding was that the Alexander Company contract expired in November. So will that be re-upped going forward?
Yes, it will be. Yes.
All right. Anything else? I mean, you had mentioned open space preservation. Yeah. Anything else that you're real proud of?
I'm really proud of the work that we've done actually at the state level in preserving, especially our historic core and our historic district. You know, partnership over preemption is always what we want with the state. And we want to continue to ensure that we are working really hard to keep our land management under local control. And I serve on our Leagues of Cities and Towns board, and that's been really beneficial for the community and for Park City to have a voice at the state. So I'm really proud of the work that we did there. You don't always get to see the behind the scenes of what our previous city manager and our city attorneys and myself and the mayor and had been down there at the state level doing every legislative session, but we really have continued to protect this historic district. I'm really proud of our Transit to Trails program that we've done and how that's elevated now into our Bonanza Transit program. Really proud of childcare. Our senior center, I know it's not exactly where we want to be right now, but it is the number one project that I've been working on for 3 years. And I know that in the next couple of years, we will break ground, and I'm very excited for that one. So.
Okay. Yeah. Back to Transit to Trails. I've had a couple of people tell me, you know, they live out in Park Meadows. They like to use Bonanza Flat. But if the whole goal is to keep cars out of the Old Town core, then why is the only place to pick up a... They can't get to the transit center, I guess, unless they took like an Uber or had somebody drop them off or paid for parking. So that does bring them in. They liked it when it was at the Old Anaya's. Maverick Station, right, where they could park, get on a bus, and then be taken up. But the decision was to take it only from the transit center, which I think is making it difficult for some people who's, you know, don't have easy access to a bus.
Yeah, no, that's great feedback. I hadn't heard that. I'll say 2 things. Most of our community, I mean, I think it's probably 95% of our community is on a bus route, except for Upper Park Meadows and Aspen Springs. We even now have the area on a bus route. So that is good feedback, though, and we can take that to the transit department.
Okay. When you first ran for office, what were your top goals then?
My top goals then were senior center and looking at Main Street and traffic and transportation. And, you know, you walk in on the first day and you think, I can solve traffic in 4 years, but you know, we've had traffic problems for 30 years of it. You and I remember when, you know, there was only two lanes coming in on 224 and expanded. So traffic is just something that you peel away the onion and you just try to put in smaller solutions. And I think that we've actually done quite a bit with traffic and with transportation. There is a lot more to do. And in this upcoming 4 years, I think the first year we need a park and ride, and we need to, you know, we have Gordo, we have Richardson Flat, and just getting shovels in the ground and actually ensuring that next season we have, you know, 500 more spots for people to park before having to come into town. So that's priority number one, is some of these easy, low hanging fruit solutions around traffic and transportation.
Okay. And like you say, because you keep 500 cars out of the core of downtown just by starting them out early.
Yes, yeah. And we know that a lot of the traffic coming in here is day visitor. Sometimes we tend to blame the overnight visitor, but I would say a lot of it is the day visitor. And we love having day visitors here. And this is a perfect example of actually what I want to see in the next 4 years. A week ago, came back from a trip to Costa Rica and realized, oh my gosh, we're kind of in a crisis mode right now. We don't have snow. We have thousands of people coming here for Christmas vacation. And what are we going to do? And, you know, we don't have a playbook for that. And so I feel like for the next 4 years, these are the kinds of things that we need to be nimble, and we need to be able to just look at our economy and say, how do we diversify, and how do we ensure that we remain this world-class destination, and we remain a place for tourists to come and for our economy to thrive? But we might not be able to rely on snow all the time. So what are the ways that the council can work with the resorts and with our region and with our state to ensure that we have a vibrant economy?
And I'll be talking with Jennifer Wesselhoff with the Chamber Bureau right after you. But I understand that some kind of committee is being formed to kind of take a look at what do we do, given, you know, our two busiest weeks of the year.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
In front of us, with really not a lot of skiing. There's some skiing. I mean, they've...
Yeah, there's some. I'm one of those people that when something happens in life, I never think of it as it's happening to me. I think it's happening for me. So I have to believe that there is a reason this is happening. And I think it's for us to actually pull together and realize that we have got to, we've got to diversify. That's really what's coming to me, is that it's not going to be 2022, 2023 season every year. I think it's going to be more like this. And that's what we're hearing from our sustainability department. And that's another part of what I want to see in the next few years, is really pushing again for environmental policies and sustainability policies, and getting us back into that, remembering that nature is what we do here. And we want to preserve this for my nieces and nephews and for all of the families and the community.
Yeah. You had mentioned Main Street. Whatever happened to that Main Street area plan? It seems to have just dropped off the radar.
Well, we never actually approved a Main Street area plan, contrary to some popular belief. Excuse me. But we did have a staff report in our last council meeting. We are looking at some geothermal. We're looking at the pedestrian to car ratio and how circulation will flow through Sweet Alley and through Main Street. We are doing some feasibility about a gondola going from China Bridge to Deer Valley. And we do know that we have to completely redo China Bridge and parking structure. And we'll see. We'll see if a new council wants to continue to look at different areas. That Main Street plan was massive, as we've heard before. We took everything off of the shelves and we put it into one plan, and we're starting to now parse pieces together. And we realize that whole entire plan is not where we're going, but we will be able to take different pieces of it and really move forward. And I believe that, again, not having snow and looking at this, we need to ensure that Main Street is the heart and soul of this community, and we're not left behind, because it is the number one destination for tourists coming here right now. And we need to make sure it continues to be historic, yet flows with the times.
Yeah. I know there's some concern on the county council's view that, you know, East Village may draw people out of Summit County. Mm-hmm. Do you share that same concern, just given that it's not Main Street?
I do. I think that what you will see is that people who maybe spent four nights on Main Street will now only spend two, or, you know, they now have this brand new shiny object. They're going to have an ice skating rink. They're going to have all this outdoor stuff. They're putting so much money into ensuring that they keep their customers right there. So how do we engage those customers to come over here besides saying your one day attraction is Main Street? We don't want to be a one day attraction. We want to be, you know, a big core part of your entire vacation.
Yeah. So any other infrastructure projects? I mean, when we talk about Main Street, that you feel will need to happen before 2034?
Well, parking is one of those. And what are we, you know, the intersections, I can tell you, even just this weekend, here's how I think about it, actually. I was thinking about it last night because I'm in and out of Main Street probably 6 or 7 times a day, is that where we're using, it's fantastic for us to have Cane Security, but where we're using Cane Security, we should have infrastructure that helps cars and pedestrians cross without having to use people. So that was my thought last night as I was crossing Heber and Main to go home again, is like, okay, we have 8 people standing out here directing traffic, you know, in these different intersections. How do we ensure that that's actually something that just flows with technology and with AI? And we're moving so fast in the AI world that let's look at those types of things in order to ensure that traffic can flow and people still want to come to Main Street. And I've said before on the radio station and in council meetings, China Bridge is only full 80 days a year, and so we really do need to ensure that. That people who are locals know when they can come up here and park, and it's easy for them and it's easy to get in and out, because we do want locals to be continuing to come to Main Street. And, you know, I encourage people to shop a little bit local if you have some last minute Christmas gifts you need to buy, because it is going to be a tough season for us. I wouldn't dare say that it's going to be anything like we've seen in the last few years. So,
A lot of effort's been put toward affordable housing these last several years. Do we need to, can we back off the gas on this?
I don't ever think you want to back off the gas, but I do think we've done a great job of getting projects moving forward. And I think we had a lot in the pipeline, and then they finally have come to fruition. And now we're going to see how it all works. People will be moving into Engine House this week, and people will be moving into Studio Crossing. And we have, you know, Clark Ranch, we'll take some time to get to what we want to do there. But I really think some of the things we need to look at too are smaller infill type of workforce housing projects. Maybe it's not these massive 90% places. It's more of like, how do you put 3 or 4, or how do you incentivize small businesses to put in their own workforce housing? I think there's a lot of options that we can move forward with, but I definitely don't want to say we're done, because I don't think we're ever going to be done.
Yeah. And kind of looking with 2 new council members coming on, I guess, what was the steepest learning curve for you as a first-term council member?
Well, I will say it takes about 18 months to really get in there and understand what's going on and know where you start and where the staff ends and where the staff starts and how to work with them. And I will say, really, I have loved engaging with our team, and I think we have a really amazing team who, when they're given the ability to, they are so creative and they can really think long term and really help move council's visions forward. The steepest learning curve is really balancing my life and balancing council, and how much time do I want to put forth. This is a part-time job, but it is expected that you work full-time, and I think the community expects that, and I love to serve the community, and I love as much time as I can put forth in it, but I also have a business and a life as well. So it was really finding that balance and understanding what was the most important parts to me. I remember our city manager told me, like, within the first month, he said, you're not in charge of, like, painting the sidewalks. You know, you've got to make the big decisions. Yes, you can say, okay, we need this and this and this, but your job is really to think three big things you want to accomplish and let the details be worked out with the team. And that was really important for me to understand.
Okay. Well, in addition to choosing a new city council member, the council will also have to choose a new city manager. How's that going, that process?
As soon as we get back in, we have about 2.5 week break right now. As soon as we get back in January, I believe we'll have an update on where we are with that process. We have to swear in a new mayor, and then the process can move forward from there. So we've hired a firm to start looking for us inside of Utah, outside of Utah, all over the country for a city manager, and they're going to have some big shoes to fill. Matt was an amazing city manager, and he did really well for this community, and we really want to ensure that the next person does the same and also elevates us to the next level.
And so if you were sitting in front of me in 4 years, you won't be, but just in the event in 4 years, looking ahead, I mean, how do you see Park City evolving?
Right. Well, Park City will have to evolve. That's the one thing we know for sure. Change is inevitable. I believe that I've kept one foot in our past, and I keep one foot in our future. And I think that those are the types of things that we have to really look at is how do we preserve our past? How do we honor it and ensure that everything that we worked so hard to get us to this level stays where it is, but also realizing that the community, the world is moving fast. We don't even understand AI. We don't understand what's coming. And so we have to be nimble, and we have to have the ability to change and pivot as quickly as possible, which isn't always easy with government. But I do believe that that's something that I bring, and I know that Ryan brings that as well. And I'm excited to see who else. Bill and Ed will be phenomenal in bringing that too. So we will continue to move forward, and I hope this council moves fast and takes some brave decisions, and we have the courage to actually move projects or stop projects and not just continue projects on for 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Anything else, Tana, you want to mention?
Yeah, I just want to thank the mayor and Jeremy for their service to this community. And it's been an honor to work with both of them. And I'm a stronger and better counselor because of both of them. And so I thank them. And I also want to thank the community. It is an honor to serve you. And I am so excited to serve for the next 4 years. And so thank you to everyone, and have happy holidays.
Okay. Park City Council Member Tana Tolley, thanks for your time. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. In the studio now with an update from the Park City Chamber Bureau, I have CEO Jennifer Wusselhoff. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too. Well, I guess it just goes to show you that Mother Nature is the best marketing director. And I guess as we kind of look at what the Chamber has spent in dollars marketing Park City these past several months, I mean, does it really matter how much money we spend to bring visitors to town? I mean, if we don't have snow, do we have a season?
That's a great question. And I would say emphatically, yes, it's very important. There's a lot of competition out there for those really valuable skier dollars. It's a 3 to 4 month season where there's just a lot of competition. And it's really important that we position ourselves out there. Obviously Mother Nature is taking the scenic route to all of the Mountain West, which for us is kind of positive in that most of our competition is feeling the same way we are. It's not like Colorado's having excellent snow conditions and we're not. So we are talking a lot to our counterparts in, I'm speaking almost every day to our friends in Big Sky and Telluride and Breckenridge, and what are they doing and how are they feeling and what's the forecast. And so we're learning a lot from each other at this point. We know that Mother Nature is fickle and that the ski season is not counted in weeks, but in months, and that there's more to come. So we're looking at a short-term plan and a long-term plan moving forward.
Okay. Now talk a little bit more about that, but let's take a look just at what does the lodging data tell us?
So I have data through November 30th, and as of that, we'll just look back at November really quickly. November occupancy from our Destametrics properties was down 7%, and our average daily rates were also down about 10%. So this isn't a new trend. We have started to see some leveling off, especially of our rates. You know, this is after 2 years of record-breaking transient room tax collections. So it's just some normalization, I think, that we're seeing of our rates. And a lot of that has to do with the national headwinds that are not just our area, but all over the country is feeling. We're seeing consumer confidence is down, national unemployment rate is down, inflation rates are fluctuating, but flat right now. And nationally, we're seeing national hotel and motel rates and occupancies are also down. So we're definitely following within what we're seeing nationally. Obviously, looking forward, especially during what our businesses tell us is the most important time of year, the next 3 to 4 months, we are seeing some fluctuations. So as of the end of November, December occupancy was actually showing pace up 2% and rates down 2%. So again, some of that teeter-tottering effect that you normally see when you're trying to drive occupancy rates, you lower rates, and when you're trying to increase revenue, you drive rates and increase or decrease occupancy. So we are starting to see a little bit of that teeter-tottering effect. So looking at winter to date, December occupancy is up 2%. January right now is flat. It's down just 1%. And then looking ahead at February and March, our pace right now is down double digits. But of course, that's no surprise. You know, generally our businesses tell us that the phones really start to ring when the snowflakes fly. So I'm not surprised that February and March that we're just seeing travelers, skiers waiting to see and waiting to follow the snow. So that's kind of where we're looking for the next 4 to 5 months, looking at winter totals right now. That pace for through December through April right now, occupancy is down about 4% and rates are flat.
All right. Cancellations. Have you heard a lot, or have we seen a lot of cancellations, or is it really, it's too late, I guess?
It's too late. Yep. So that's a lot of what we're thinking about. We're talking with our area lodging association and staying in tune with them and what they're seeing. So I know a lot of our resorts are really thinking about that visitor experience, as are we. I think we want to make sure that despite these slow conditions, we really want visitors to know that we care about their overall guest experience, that Park City is a wonderful place to visit. There's a lot to do on the mountain and off the mountain. So as we're thinking about that, we know that folks who come here for a ski vacation, and they may have in the past skied 4 or 5 days. We know that with the limited terrain, they may be skiing less days. So we want to make sure that we have a plan for them so that they know what else there is to do in Park City that's off the mountain. You mentioned with Councilor Tolley earlier in this segment, a task force that was formed made up of our resorts, our city, our county, the Historic Park City Alliance, Lodging Association, Restaurant Association, all these groups are getting together to really make sure that we have a comprehensive resource for our businesses where they can put all of their information, the events going on, and then also making sure that our visitors and our businesses can distribute that information so that our visitors know what's going on.
Yeah, so that task force is already meeting and putting together a plan?
Last week we were meeting daily, actually, and then in the long term we feel that this group is a really important group to keep going as we start thinking about these conditions being more of potentially normal conditions. What can we do in the future to really ensure a positive guest experience and exceptional hospitality? So this group right now is really focused on making sure that our businesses know where to post their events, post their activities. We're in the process of printing a postcard with a QR code that will be distributed to businesses on Main Street through the Lodging Association and the Restaurant Association so that they can hand those out. And all of that that collateral and marketing material will drive people to visit parkcity.com/events, where visitors can see all of the great things that are happening in the community. Really during these really two important weeks of the holidays, but also through the entire season.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, should these warm temperatures continue into January? I mean, is the season a bust?
I wouldn't say so. No, I mean, just listening to Cedric this morning and also some of your stories earlier this week, knowing that in Utah, most of our snow comes in the March timeframe. So, like I said, I think we need to really think about the season more in terms of months and less in terms of weeks, and really just stay positive. I know, you know, our visitors who are coming to town, they really want a winter getaway. It has traditionally been all about the skiing and all about the on-mountain activities. And, you know, we just need to be prepared to adapt and make sure that those folks who are visiting have a wonderful experience while they're here and then want to come back when the snow is flying. The other thing that is also on my mind is knowing that this slow start and these current conditions might impact our employees who really rely on this season, and they may not be getting the hours that they need. And, you know, obviously this impacts real lives and real plans and real families. And we want to take a moment to acknowledge that and acknowledge that this is more of a temporary challenge. And just keep those employees in mind as we're interacting around the community this next month, really.
Yeah, because I've heard that from a few people, just that part-time staff is being kind of just off the clock to let the full-time people get their full-time hours. What about our J1s? Do we know anything about them?
You know, I haven't heard too much from our resorts right now about having to cut hours. But, you know, we know with limited terrain, there's a less need for those workers on the mountain. So many of them operate two or sometimes three jobs throughout the season. Generally, we know then that when it's not as busy on the mountain, it's busier off the mountain. So we're really hoping to drive visitation throughout all of Summit County. Of course, our Main Street area is a gem, and lots of people will flock to shop and eat and drink on Main Street. But we also want to make sure that our visitors know there are a lot of other activities that are open and available to them while they're here.
Yeah. Has a decision been made to move the Freestyle World Cup from Deer Valley to back east? Because I'm hearing rumblings of that, too.
Oh, gosh, no, I haven't heard anything about that. I think Deer Valley would be the best resource there. I think the other thing that we really want to be thinking about is how we're diversifying and celebrating all of the activities and attractions in our area. In fact, just earlier this month, we launched a new program with the Michelin Guide in cooperation with Visit Salt Lake and Sundance Resort, and then also our Area Restaurant Association, to be able to create a Michelin Guide for the Southwest that will include Nevada, Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico. And what this does is it opens the door for Michelin to come into our community to start identifying our area restaurants to be considered for the many, many different options with Michelin. So, you know, looking at elevating our arts experience, looking at elevating our culinary experience, all of these things are really truly what makes Park City Mountain kind, the way that we treat each other, the way that we show up for each other and our visitors, is all part of who we are as a community. And adaptability is an important part of that.
Okay, real quick, let's talk briefly about the tax dollars again, what the lodging has meant for those tax collections. What are we seeing there?
We have data from Summit County through November, which represents 11 months of their calendar year. Now, remember that those collections are always, they always lag by 2 months. So for November, we're seeing that local sales tax collections were down 5%. But for the 11 months of 2025, year-to-date sales tax collections were up 1%. Restaurant tax collections for November reporting was up 10%, and year-to-date, our restaurants performed well, up 3% for the 11 months of 2025. Our recreation, arts, and parks tax collections are flat year to date. And then looking at our transient room taxes, we've talked a lot about this over the last several months. For November, transient room taxes, we saw a nice bump, an increase of 5% for November. But overall, the 11 months of 2025, transient room taxes were down 7%.
Okay. And then real quick, just in the last minute here, maybe let us know about some of the upcoming events people might be interested in.
Well, great. And of course, visitparkcity.com is going to be, /events is going to be a great resource for our residents who are here and who may have families visiting. So check that out. You're going to see great events like the holiday window display on Main Street. The snow globe art stroll is going to happen through January 3rd. A lot of great shows happening at the Egyptian Theater. Of course, we have our Create PC Holiday Makers Market. So for those who are looking for some last minute gifts, please think and shop local. That Makers Market will go through February 1st. And then we have at Park City Mountain Canyons Village, the Gondola Art Stroll. So that, and along with a lot of other great events and activities, can all be found at visitparkcity.com/events. You'll see a QR code floating around this town to share with your friends and family while you're visiting. And happy holidays to everyone. To you, Leslie.
Okay, you too, Jennifer. Thank you. That's Jennifer Wesselhoff, CEO of the Park City Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. It's 8:48. The Utah Nordic Alliance, better known as TUNA, is a ski club that promotes cross-country skiing in northern Utah. With very little to no snow at our local Nordic tracks, how has that impacted what TUNA does? Well, in the studio with details, I have Richard Hodges, who serves as general manager of the White Pine Nordic Center, as well as vice president of TUNA. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Leslie. Good morning, Park City. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about TUNA. I mean, how long has it been around? I mean, what is its mission? What is it?
The Utah Nordic Alliance has been around for almost 40 years now. So it was originally formed with the Ogden Nordic Club, the Park City Nordic Ski Club, and the Salt Lake Ski Club. Dave Hanscom, our local hero, was instrumental in helping it all come together. And it was designed to kind of bring disparate small communities together into a larger community.
Okay, so it's a membership organization.
Yeah, it's a membership organization, a nonprofit, 501c3. TUNA has operated the Mountaindale Ski Area in Parley's Canyon on the Mountaindale Golf Course for more than 35 years. quite a long time.
Yeah. So those annual dues, I mean, what does that get somebody?
So the annual membership allows you to buy, of course, a discounted pass at Mountaindale, but it also gets you discounts at some retailers in the area. And it's part of supporting the local community. It helps support, you know, youth skiing in Salt Lake City in particular, but also throughout the broader Nordic community. It supports the racing series, the Wasatch Citizen Series, and programs like the refugee ski program that we run out of Salt Lake City and some Title I schools in Salt Lake City School District that are both foundation funded and funded by TUNA.
All right. So with no snow here at White Pine nor Mountaindale, I mean, what's happening with the TUNA programs? Because these kids usually would be on snow by now.
Yeah. The junior programs, much like junior programs everywhere, have been kind of chasing snow around. There's a little bit of snow at Soldier Hollow, the man-made snow. There's been a lot of dry land training this fall and early winter. Kids are running, they're hill bounding, but the coaches are working very hard to keep everybody engaged, entertained, and active, waiting for the snow to come. That's part of what we do, is keep the stoke up even while the grass is still growing.
Yeah. So is it a year-round program, or is it just kind of the fall, winter?
So it is a year-round program. It's kind of a lower level in the summer. A lot of kids in the youth programs now are mountain biking in the summer, and so there's some really good cross-pollination in those two communities. But for the kind of junior comp and comp level kids, the kids that are racing more, it's a year-round program, just slightly lower level in the summer.
Okay, and does TUNA still have the yurt up in the Uintas?
TUNA does still have the yurt up in the North Fork in the Uintas. You have to go to the utahnordic.org website to reserve. It's usually very busy, and there is snow up there right now.
So you've been?
I have not been. I'm getting reports daily from people that are going into the Uintas, and there is some good touring. It's not deep, but it's beautiful.
Yeah. As you mentioned, Tuna has also been a supporter of the Wasatch Citizen Series. Any idea what's going to happen with the schedule this year? Because a 10K set for January 3rd at Soldier Hall, and we've got 1K.
Yeah, to be determined. It's been the last 5 years have been a little bit rough trying to hold to a fixed schedule that you have to set up in the fall for the race series. Soldier Hall is doing everything they can to have a course. If they can get 2.5 kilometers, you can pull off a race there. And if it gets cold, that'll very likely happen. I've got a race scheduled, 2 races scheduled in Park City, subject to permitting and weather and snow, and also Mountain Dell races. You can check this full schedule at utahnordic.org. But it's a little bit of flexibility and a lot of optimism.
Yeah, so kind of given, this winter certainly kind of sets reality for, this may be the new normal going forward. Given that, what is the likelihood of, do we need snowmaking on the golf course here? I had asked somebody from the city about, Ken Fisher it was, since they're doing the irrigation project at the golf course anyway, can't they just put some snow guns in there?
It's certainly within the realm of possibility. It's kind of a money issue, of course. Snowmaking is not free, but the opportunity is there. And looking at how we've gone, we're having more weather extremes in the last decade in particular than we've ever had before. And having years like this, I hope it's not the new normal, but it's certainly kind of a view of things that might come. It was just 3 years ago we had snow drifts up to our necks. but snowmaking is a way to kind of at least hope to guarantee that there will be some skiing, even in years like this.
Okay. So you can give us the White Pine report for today. Shop's open, but that's about it.
Shop is open. We're doing service. We're seeing a lot of regular customers come in just to say hi. Everybody is anxiously awaiting some cold air and some moisture to kind of come together at the same time. Trying to keep everybody positive. I've got 42 employees, of which very few are working regularly right now. And so it's kind of a struggle on one side to keep everybody enthusiastic and engaged. It will snow, and we're going to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour in probably 24 hours as soon as it arrives. We just need 6 inches, and we're back in business.
So it takes, 6 inches of new snow that, gets packed down to
have
a couple?
To get it packed down and have a good base, and then we can start skiing again. So we had 5 glorious days in December.
And it seems like the 3K holds the snow better. Why is that? Just because it's flatter?
It has a slightly downhill aspect away from the sun. It's not noticeable until you spend a lot of time out on it. It kind of tilts away from the sun just enough that it stays a little bit colder. The 5K, the back nine, is kind of fully southern exposed in areas, and that can be problematic in low snow years.
Mm. All right. Well, you have mentioned on your reports that there are other areas. Of course, Soldier Hollow is one of those. The Uintas, you say, are they grooming
They're not grooming. They just closed the gate 2 days ago now. But people have been going up and touring and snowshoeing. And it's not deep, but it's really beautiful. And there is snow to be found. Mountain Trails has groomed Bonanza Flats a couple times this week. And again, it's kind of like spring conditions. It's almost more like April than December. And so, be careful, but check their website to see what the current status is. Yesterday's report said they'd groomed, but it was kind of thin, and mind yourself while you're out there.
Yeah. What about Daniel's Summit?
I have not heard anything. I
know they do some grooming up there. I've never been.
They've done some grooming. I've skied up there years ago. They don't regularly report, and I haven't heard from anyone this year that's gone up there. I'm sure there is snow up there. I have no idea what condition it is.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else you wanted to mention? I guess if people are interested in joining Tuna, they can just go on
to utahnordic.org. It's a great way to support the community and the broader skiing community. Help out the kids and, just be part of a larger family of Nordic skiers and crazy people that like to go on the skinny boards.
Okay. Richard, thanks.
Thank you, Leslie.
Richard Hodges, again, Vice President of the Utah Nordic Alliance and General Manager at the White Pine Nordic Center. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW.